You know, Pastor went to the church on Monday morning and discovered there was a dead mule in the churchyard. So he telephoned the police. And the police said, well, there doesn't appear to be any foul play. It looks as if this mule has just died. The police said, it's nothing to do with us. You'll have to phone the health department. And the health department got called and they said, well, it's not really a threat. There's no real problem here health-wise. He's just obviously dropped down dead, this mule. So you better call the sanitation department. So the pastor's now getting a bit cheesed off with all these calls. But anyway, he calls the sanitation department. And sanitation department said, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I've got a dead mule here. I've been told that you'd have to come away and take this dead mule away. He said, oh, sorry, can't do that. He said, you'll have to ring the mayor for permission. Well, the pastor wasn't too keen to call the mayor because this mayor possessed a very bad temper. He was always extremely rude to this pastor and he was hard to deal with. But eventually the pastor thought, well, I've got to get this dead mule away. So I'd better give him a call. So the mayor didn't disappoint the pastor. Soon as he heard it was the pastor's voice, the mayor immediately began to rant and rave. What do you want to call me for? Isn't your job to bury the dead? The pastor asked for a brief moment and said, yes, it is. But it's also my job to notify the next of kin first. I want to talk about today a new series about someone who actually became next of kin to God. Up till that time, God hadn't called a particular nation for himself. But God was about to change things. From the Tower of Babel, God was about to change his whole direction on the whole course, which was to have dramatic effects on the world. And God was to call on one man. And from that one man, God was going to bring in a nation. And from that nation, of course, of Jesus coming. God called someone into his family, into his kin. And having done that, and said, through you all the seeds of the earth will be blessed, Christ came through Abraham. And it's his life we want to deal with in the next few months. How Abraham fulfilled, I believe, this verse. Because that verse is what has every one of us to do every day and every morning. That is the theme of our life. Let's read it together. I've written it from the message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Now, that, as I say, is the version from the message. I don't know I can't remember what the authorized version is now. Was it present your bodies a holy living sacrifice or somewhere around that connotation? I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God. I think that is how the King James. But I like this message because, listen, doesn't that sum up exactly what you and I are here for? Paul saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you, God helping you. And that is why we've called this series, God Holds the Key. If God doesn't help you, you won't be able to take your ordinary, everyday, working, sleeping, eating, going to work life and making it a success. When I first came here 3 years ago, we did a series based on Mark Green. And we did a 5-minute video clip each week. It started off with James Bond, if you remember. It started off with 007, James Bond. And what we said was that there is no sacred and secular divide. And as Christians, we need to understand there is no difference between our sacred life, what we're sitting doing now, or what we have done in the last hour, and what happens tomorrow. And our secular, business, ordinary, everyday life. There is no divide. There is no difference between a Sunday morning, in many senses, and a Monday morning. Because it says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, I want you to take your everyday, ordinary life. And some of you might think, yeah, just my ordinary, boring day life. Well, take your ordinary, boring day life. Whether you're asleep, whether you're eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So there is no difference in God's eyesight, is there? But it doesn't say, on the Sabbath, I want you to take your life. He says, I want you to take it every single day. That means Sarah taking it every single day with her three boys and doing what, you know, getting the three boys off to school and then watching Orphrey Wintry on TV as she does, you know, and watching all the morning stuff that goes on in TV, Simon, as you're working away in your office, doing what you have to do. And then I believe she collects the children, feeds them, sends them off somewhere else and continues on the afternoon Kyle show, whatever it is. Whatever your ordinary working day life is, Sarah, do it to the glory of God. You know, Mary's retired. She wakes up at 9, 10 o'clock, has her breakfast, and then does whatever she needs. She does the crossword, the Times crossword, you know. But whatever you do in your ordinary day life, although the last few weeks she's worked very, very hard with me trying to get Wilf Roberts' estate out. But even now, whatever we do, we should be doing it for the glory of God. And I remember Mary and I going into the house last week as the auctioneer come round to give us a price for some of Wilf's stuff. And we were saying this, you know, this is consuming all of our time lately. But I remember Mary saying, but isn't it a pleasure to do it for Wilf? In other words, Mary was saying, listen, whatever we're doing today, this is just an ordinary day, Pastor, but let's do it. God helping us for the glory of God. I think it's just a lovely phrase. Now, we could go round about all of it. I know most of your days. Maisie's very active in the gym. Very active in the gym. So, you know, I know Maisie isn't sitting around doing Times Crossword or watching Kyle on TV. Mary's on the treadmill. Maisie's on the treadmill giving it this. Do you know what I'm saying? So I know, but in everything we can do. And Kevin last week was catching fish this big. But in reality, they were this. But you can honor God in your fishing. Can't you? In everything, you can honor God. You know, seriously. Do you know what the problem is? A great many people are afraid of these verses because it demands total surrender. The first bit of introduction, I hope we've enjoyed a bit of fun. But the point of this whole scripture, says Paul, and the reason so many people don't want to go down it, it's because it's surrendering everything to the will of God. And yet I believe it's the most necessary thing we can do. We must learn to surrender our total life to God, letting Him plan for us and rule our lives. Let me tell you what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody said this: I cannot look into the future. I do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, I do not know what may happen before night. So I cannot choose for myself as well as God can choose for me. And it's much better to surrender my will to God's life. Isn't that a lovely statement from a great man of God? A great man of God. This is a man of God who cried to God that he was so empty. And two ladies, two beautiful ladies, would go every Friday morning because they loved their pastor. And they would sit in the front row of their church and they would pray and pray for D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody would come in on a Friday and they'd say, we're praying for you, Pastor. One day D.L. Moody was walking down New York, just down the high street of New York. And the Spirit of God smashed him. And he was never the same man again. He became the mighty D.L. Moody. that God was to shape. I believe it's because he was prepared to surrender his life to God, and two people were prepared to pray for their pastor. And Dale Moody wrote those words, "I cannot choose for myself as well as God could choose for me. So therefore it's much better to surrender my will to God." See, Dale Moody wanted to have that. Every day of his ordinary life, he's sleeping, he's eating, he's going to work, he's walking around life, he wanted to place it before God as an offering. Now that doesn't mean God is going to take you to heroic heights as he did Dale Moody. It might be, Sarah, just one of your ordinary days. The difference is this. It's surrendered to the will of God. It's surrendered to the will of God. And how often God works in ordinary circumstances. A word here, a word there. I believe that there is an example in the Bible of a life that lives out this text. I really do. I believe it is this. I believe Abraham fulfills this text, as we shall discover. God helping Abraham. And we must remember that. Remember, the surrendered life is to saying to God, "Listen, with God's help, I want to take my ordinary life." It's with God's help. It takes you and I off the pressure a bit, doesn't it? It's with God's help I want to take my ordinary life. In other words, we're not saying, "Well, with Avril's help, I'm going to make it." Although that does help, because she tells me where I'm going and she looks in the calendar and she says, "I know you think sometimes I'm a nag, but at least, you know, I know where you're going." I don't. But even that, although I depend upon Avril sometimes for writing things on the calendar, it's with God's help. And sometimes she'll go out and say to me, "Would you pray for me before I go to work? I've got this thing to do at work." And that's great, because I love the words, "Would you pray for me?" In other words, "Don't you help me? Would you pray for me? With God's help, I can make the situation far better." But I wonder, those of you who don't work, I wonder whether or not that is still the same for you. Your ordinary, everyday life been totally surrendered. See, I believe Abraham does fulfill. And I believe there are four keys that will help us. Before we look at these points, let's look at some background, shall we? Here was a man, Abraham, who lived in a polytheistic age. An age where people believed and worshipped many gods. We know that because the Bible tells us in Joshua 24:2, it states that Abraham's family practiced idolatry. Abraham grew up in a polytheistic age where you worshipped as many gods as you possibly could get a hold of. And the Bible tells us that's how he grew up. And yet within that atmosphere, Abraham hears the voice of God. And there's a verse, and I think it's in Proverbs. I know it's in Proverbs. It says, "In everything that you do, listen for the voice of God. In everything you do, listen to the voice of God." And even in an atmosphere of a total idolatry, Abraham heard God speaking. Now, he didn't know God at that time, like his father. He was in an environment of worshiping anything that comes and goes. I only want to help this morning to know that, listen, you may be in an atmosphere at work, which is a polytheistic atmosphere, an atmosphere which is totally alien to God at all. But I still believe that if you do Romans 12:1, what we've said, you can hear the voice of God at work. I really do. I believe Maisie, with all sincerity, can hear the voice of God in that gym. I really do. I believe with Ian when he's on his building site, even in that atmosphere, even in an atmosphere like that. I worked down a mine, and I tell you what, there was no more worse atmosphere as regards religion than down a mine. When you heard what some of them got up to at the weekend, and they live for their whippets and their beer and all these things. But even in 2,000 feet underneath ground, during my little break, I often heard the voice of God. In fact, some of my sermons that I preached on in Sunderland were written down 2,000 feet below ground. Wherever we are, we can hear the voice of God if we do Romans 12 verse 1. And so within this atmosphere, suddenly this young man called Abraham, well, he's not a young man. Well, suppose he is. He's 75 and he lives to quite a good age, so he is pretty good. And in Jewish tradition, this is called Midrash. It's a Hebrew word which means interpretation and relates to the way things were happening at that present time. And there are a number of stories in the Midrash which talks about Abraham smashing his father's idols when he realizes there is only one God. When he hears this voice of God. Now the Bible doesn't say that. As I say, this is Midrash, this is the old Hebrew. But they believe in the Hebrew stories that once Abraham heard the call of God, he totally surrendered everything to God and smashed up the idols of his father's house. He totally surrendered to God. But this we do know, that Abraham was a shepherd. He was Ur in Mesopotamia, which is the modern day Iraq. Abraham lived in Iraq. And in that idolatrous place of Iraq, he heard the voice of God. And God said to him, I want you to go to a land that you've never heard of. I want you to go and to possess a land. You don't know how big the people are of that land. I'm not going to tell you. But this is what I want you to do. In order for you to do Romans 12 verse 1, I want you to do certain things. And that was to give up his home, to give up his family, and to give up his country. I want you to think about it. Here is a man who suddenly just heard the voice of God. Believes truly that there is only one God now. And whether Hebrew tradition is right or not, has totally abandoned the gods of his father. God has said to him, I want you to go now. Because I want you to live a life of total surrender. And that means, Abraham, leaving your father, leaving all your family, leaving your kindred, giving up the country of Iraq where you live. And I'm going to take you to a place what you've never heard of. I'm going to ask you to live in a land where you don't know who the people are. And you don't really know me. Because Abraham must discover God as he went on through his life. I want you to notice that. Abraham didn't know God fully until God tested him through many trials. I know that because the Bible tells me this. It's a part of Scripture where Abraham offers up his son Isaac. And verse 42 of that chapter says this. Now I know that you love me. Now I know that you love me. Because you were prepared to surrender all. He was prepared in his ordinary, everyday life to take his son and lay him on an altar. And God called him his friend. But at this point of our stage, because we're taking this very slowly, I believe Abraham's got so much to say. Avril said to me, what are you speaking on Sunday? And I told Avril what I was speaking on. She said, can you honestly tell me, could you do what God has just asked Abraham to do? That was the question you asked me. Of course, being a man, I straight away put it back onto Avril. But could you? Seriously, I'd like you to take a minute. We're not going to rush through Abraham. I don't care how long it takes. I want you to know whether or not you will surrender your everyday, working day life or leisure life. And after all, God gave you retirement to enjoy. You should not be ashamed if you're retired and enjoying your life. God gave you that. All I'm asking, Romans 12 verse 1. God has said to you, Rob, I want you to leave your job. I want you to go to a foreign country. You don't know the people. They don't know the language. I want you and Eunice to leave Katie, Nathan, Matthew, your grandchildren, and I want you to go. What's your answer going to be? Think about it. Because you're not too old. It's a startling question, isn't it? Abraham was 75 years old when God asked him that question. See, this is where rubber hits road, isn't it? Isn't it? I couldn't answer that to Avril. I would like to have said, of course I can. But sometimes, you know, God puts you to the test, isn't he? God knows your heart, doesn't he? God knows your heart. I want to encourage you that lovely, I'm just going to put it on again because I just think it's smashing. That struck me more than anything during this. Dale Moody. I cannot choose for myself as well as God could choose for me. And it's much better to surrender my will. But I would find that extremely difficult. I love the word of God and I love the job I'm in, but would I really want to go to Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan? Would I? Would I? Seriously? I just open that question before every one of us, because I want us to enjoy this Abraham series, but I want it to be a series where we can take things home and seriously look at and consider our everyday working day life. Anyway, Abraham decides that he's going to start. But you see, it's not how you start, it's how you. And we're going to find out a few things about Abraham next week. He starts well. Praise God, he does end up finishing well. But there are a little bit of spurts on the way, which can help us. So what I'm saying is, if you've started well and you've sidetracked yourself a bit, don't worry. You can get on track. And this, of course, is the first step. When the Holy Spirit calls, we must acknowledge God. So that's where he does. That is the location, as we will look at Abraham in detail. He's going from Ur the Chaldeans. And he's going to go and visit those places, and we will be looking at them in some details. But Abraham first realized there was just one God, and he gave up. He gave up all the other gods that he and his father used to serve. And that is the first requirement. I don't know what gods are in your life, seriously. I don't know what stops you going totally surrendering your life to God. Whatever it is, it's a God. No, seriously. Whatever stops you being totally committed to God is a God. And that's the first question. I believe that God wants to speak into our lives this morning. And just say, I will have no other. The Ten Commandments, I still believe it exists. Let's say it again, Rob. Let's say it loud. I will have no other. I am a jealous God. God admits he's jealous. He's jealous of your affection, Wendy. He's jealous when somebody else gets it. I'm not talking about Kevin in seriousness. You know what I'm talking about. When someone else gets God's place that is rightly due to him, he gets jealous. And out of a world of influence, of godless culture, God speaks to my man. And he says, I surrender all. And he goes on to show in the next few weeks how it's possible to surrender everything to God. Till he gets to the end of one of the most poignant times in his life. And God says, now I know that you love me. Would God be able to say that to you this morning? I'm being serious. Would God say, now I know that you love me? not by your singing, but because Romans 12 verse 1 says that in every day of your ordinary life, whether that be waking, sleeping, eating or working, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice for his Son. And the first key was to give up home, family and country. I'm just going to put this on because this is where we will start next week. You see, God said to Abraham, I want you to give up some tremendous things, your own family. I want you to leave your country and your kindred. But if you do, this is what's going to happen. You see, the disciple said, I've given up everything for you, said Peter. God said, there's nothing you've given up for me, Peter, that will not be restored. I want to encourage you this morning. You may think Romans 12 verse 1 is a lot to encompass. It stops you from surrendering your whole life to God. I want to say this. God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has. I believe that investing in God in Romans 12 verse 1 will be the same as Abraham. I believe there'll come a day when God will say, listen, you gave up little bits of things on earth for me. Come and see what I've got in store for you. Abraham, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. I want Abraham, you to take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, you're going to work. You're walking around, Abraham, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing, Abraham, you can do. I wonder if you want to put your own name there this morning as we close. Just close your eyes and just put your own name there. As I just repeat this verse, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him, because God has a better choice than I could possibly choose. In Jesus' name, amen.